Things are always changing. Seasons change. Life changes. Circumstances will always change. Here's the question. Are you prepared when God brings a change into your life? And we've been talking about spiritual growth over the last number of weeks. I call it a series, SG21, Spiritual Growth for 2021. Obviously, I hope the growth that you learn can be applied to any year. When 2021 is over, the wisdom God gives you does not expire, okay? And it's not held to just within a year, but we want to know, how can we grow in our relationship with God? We talked about weeks ago when we started this, we talked about why should I want to grow spiritually? We talked about what the importance of that. And then we talked about the new nature that God wants to give. And then talked about a number of things that are involved in that growth. Today, what I want to talk to you about is, as I've titled it, Food for the Soul, I want to talk to you about the Word of God, about Scripture, about why it's important. And all of these ingredients are necessary. If you want, how many people here enjoy eating something like, say, let's say chocolate cake or chocolate chip cookies, or let's just say a pastry or some kind of baked good? We'd all have to raise both hands and a foot probably. But when you make something at home and you're baking it, you want the outcome. Let's say it's chocolate chip cookies you want to make. Let's say that you leave out one ingredient though, just one. It shows up in the final product, doesn't it? I mean, it may look like a cookie. It might have the appearance of a cookie. But when you taste it, you go, something's just off. So there's something missing. And that's the way it is in our growth with the Lord. He wants us to have all the necessary ingredients so that as we grow, we can become the men and women of God that he's called us to be. We grow in our walk with God. So today we're going to take a look in the book of Hebrews chapter 5. And we're really going to be looking at a number of different verses, but I'm kind of focusing on those ones right there. And if you'd like to follow along, we have an outline in the bulletin that you received today. If you're here today and you're our guest, we'd sure love to get a chance to know you. You can rip off that little tear-off tab there and leave it in the offering plate. And if you're here today and you need just some specific prayer, I just want you to know that we just count it a great joy and an honor to serve you in this church. And so I want you to know that we pray for you, the staff here. We gather together, we just pray. And if you have something that's going on and you're saying, Pastor, I'd really love for you to just pray for me, you can tell us what's going on. You don't have to tell us what's going on. Jesus knows. Just put your name down. You can rip that off. You can drop it in there as well. And know that you're being prayed for this week, because we're family. And we want to make sure that we are knowing how we can pray for you. So, as we start the journey today, we're going to start talking about what it means to have the right food for our soul. The Word of God is what we're specifically going to look at. We're going to obviously use the Word of God. So follow along with you. We've got the outlines on YouVersion as well. For those that are watching online, it should be attached in there with YouVersion as well. And we welcome you, for those of you that are joining us online, because I know that sometimes it can still yet be a challenge. And it's great to know that there's nothing that can hold back God's grace. There's nothing that can hold back His Holy Spirit from getting the Word out. And I believe today that as we talk about what it means about spiritual growth, as we talk about food for our soul, we need to understand that it's so important to feed ourselves spiritually. Anorexia is a disorder that we're all pretty much aware of. It's a disorder among people who are all-consuming, and this desire to be thin is what happens. Maybe you know of somebody that has gone through this and has struggled, but anorexia sufferers will starve themselves is what they'll do, ignoring their body's craving for food because they have chosen to put their physical appearance above their health. That's what happens. And many of us, or many that are sufferers of anorexia, will put their lives at risk to avoid taking even the basic nourishment that they need to live. Many Christians today, if we're not careful, can suffer from the same condition spiritually. We can starve ourselves, even though God has provided a rich spiritual nourishment from His Word that we can feed on daily. He's given it to us, but yet many times we don't feed upon that. Now, I know maybe right now you're at the point where you're like, okay, this is where it's going. We're going to start talking about how I need to read my Bible. I got to do some devotions. Yes and no. You and I should want to partake of the Word because it fills us up, it satisfies, it feeds us, not because we're checking off a box, kind of like we're making God happy that we read a chapter in His Bible. That's not what God's after. God's all about relationships, as we'll find out in just a moment. But if we don't make it a priority to feed ourselves spiritually and focus specifically on the Word of God, because how many of you know there's a lot of voices out there? Amen? There's a lot of people that have opinions. All you have to do is turn on the news channel or watch movies or, you know, whatever it is, and you'll get the world's view. But if you want wisdom from above, you got to go to the Word of God. You've got to go to the source. See, there's a desire in this world to appear on the outside attractive to the world. But if we're not feeding ourselves spiritually, we become stunted in our growth. We don't grow. The Bible is food for our soul, is what it is. The Bible is food for our soul. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, it tells us this. It says, "Man shall not live by bread alone," right? "But by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Now, we've heard this verse, most likely we've heard this verse before. I've heard it many times, you know, growing up and that, but it wasn't until it became real. Where does growth happen? When you feed on the Word of God, on the words that come directly from His mouth. Now, it's unfortunate today that the Bible has been reduced to a menu to be studied rather than a nourishing meal to be enjoyed or savored. How many of you, when you go to the restaurant, you look that thing over the menu, where it starts with this: where do you want to go eat? I don't know. I don't care. Wherever. Where do you want to go? And then, I don't know if you do this, but I get the menu out, and I'll go to one of my favorite restaurants, and I'll pull the menu out as if I'm going to really peruse it. I know what I'm getting. I'm just looking at the whole thing. Maybe, you know, it'll change my mind. Maybe not. And then I order the same thing I always get. I always do that, you know. But it's sad when we reduce the Word of God to almost a menu that we just look at and kind of say, well, I'll take a little of this and a little of that. When it comes to the Word of God, you take the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, because it is the truth. It's the Word of God. We cannot live apart from the Word of God. So when learning the Scriptures becomes merely an academic exercise, we can actually increase, here it is, we can actually increase in biblical knowledge while regressing in our spiritual understanding. And this is the sad part. We can actually learn a lot and get the PhDs and the bachelors and the associates and the MDs and the ABCs and put whatever plaque you want on your wall. But no matter how smart you are, have you taken what you've learned and allowed it to transform your life? But it starts the Word of God. The Word of God has to say. Jesus told the people of his day, he said that even though they worked hard and even though they were diligent to search the Scriptures, it didn't do them any good because it didn't lead them into his presence. It didn't lead them into believing in him, Jesus. He said, "Hey, it's great that you learned all this stuff, but look, guys, I'm right here and you missed me." The Bible is the inspired Word of God, and this is where we need to start. It is the inspired Word of God, and we need to make that very clear from the beginning. Let me give you two scriptures to write down. They're not in your outlines, but if you've ever questioned what does the Bible have to say about the Word of God, write down 2 Timothy 3:16, okay? All scripture is inspired as the Word of God. It'll tell you. Here's another scripture. Write this one down. Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 18. And in those two verses, you're going to find where it shines a light on the authenticity, on the origin, that this is the Word. Without the Word, we're sunk, we're lost. The purpose of the Word of God, it's not to just give us information for our heads, but it's supposed to be food for our new nature. Remember, why should I want to grow spiritually? When you give Jesus your life, you ask Jesus in your heart, he gives you a new nature. And the Scripture is supposed to feed, your new nature is supposed to feed on that Scripture, and that's what causes it to grow. So we need to take a look at, because the Bible's a book that is supposed to be eaten, all right? Think of it that way. It's something that we're supposed to consume, we're supposed to digest it, and not just read it, say we read it, or try to understand or get in some kind of a theological debate. The question is not, did you read the Word, as much as it is when you read it, did it read you? Did it transform or change you? So I want to make a few observations this morning about just some things that we need to know about the Word of God in our spiritual growth specifically and what that means. So here's the first one, observation, write this down. Spiritual milk is where we start, and it's not our destination. Spiritual milk is where we start, and it's not our destination. Peter in the Bible used an illustration, and I love how Peter put it. Peter tells a story. He uses an illustration so that we can understand this and how important it is. And in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, he gives us this understanding or this illustration of how important it is to take in the Word of God. It's in your outlines. It'll be up on the screen there. Let's read that one together. You ready? Go. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. He says, as newborn babes, infants, children, he said, you and I must desire the pure milk of the Word. What Peter is telling us is that what milk is to the baby's body, the Word of God is to the soul of a new believer. So he says that's where it begins. See, when a baby is ready to eat, guess what happens? The world stops, at least when you're the mom and dad, right? When that baby wants to eat, guess what? When that baby wants to be fed, when does that baby want to be fed? Now. I want to eat, and I want to eat now. So the mother, what the mom will do is the mom will give the baby some milk, but what I see sometimes is this. I see moms try to trick their baby. Sometimes I see it in service. If a baby gets a little noisy in that, you know what they do? They take out something called a pacifier, and they put it in the baby's mouth. And what they're doing is this. The pacifier is basically fake food. They put it in the baby's mouth, hoping it will, by definition, pacify the baby until we can get the baby, you know, it's a more appropriate time. A pacifier attempts to trick the baby into thinking something is really happening when nothing is happening at all. Now, some babies, here's what they'll do. They'll suck on that pacifier, and they will like it, and they will embrace it, and they'll enjoy it until they realize something. All of a sudden, the baby wises up and says, hey, I'm doing all the work, and there's nothing that's happening, and what will happen is this. The baby will chuck that pacifier out and declare to the world, I want the real thing. I no longer want a pacifier. You see, there comes a point, spiritually speaking, or in every believer's life, at least the ones that desire to grow spiritually, where we must spit out that which has been pacifying us and declare, we want the real thing. We want the real thing. This starts with what Peter calls the milk of the Word of God. Too many believers, too many Christians. And I'm targeting, I hope that's not a bad word, but I'm targeting Christians. If you don't know Jesus and you would like to, then you start with the milk of the Word of God. But my challenge, you'll hear me say it again later. My assumption I'm going to make, and it's always scary, it's not good to assume, I know, but I'm assuming that everybody here today is saying, wherever I'm at in my walk with Christ, I want to grow more. And if you want to grow more, we have to start looking at the things that we've been allowing to pacify us, things that we've been allowing to fill the gap and not feeding ourselves spiritually so much. Because here's what happens is when we allow the pacifiers in our life, the result is there's underfed saints or believers who don't even know that they're underfed because there's been so much sugarcoating that's going on. And that's a real problem. My fear is simply this, that what happens to things when they get sugar-coated is we don't see them for what they really are. How many of you have ever been to a fair? Have you ever been to a fair? Or it may not be at a fair, but this is where I saw them mostly was candied apples. You know, ever have a candied apple? Okay. I think, if I'm not mistaken, there's a difference between a candied apple and a caramel apple, right? But they're both kind of the same in a way. You get an apple on a stick, a candied apple is dipped in this ooey goodness of sugar, right? And a caramel apple is one that they wrap the caramel around. Either way, you got a high volume of sugar going on, don't you? But what happens is what? We do this. We go and we say, I'm going to have, I mean, it's an apple, right? Apples are good for you, right? But what happens is we take that apple and we dip it into all of that ooey goodness of the sugar, or we wrap it in the caramel. And once you dip the apple into the sugar coating, you have basically canceled out any nutrition of the apple by putting two things together that were never meant to be together. Now, I know some of you are caramel apple fans and you're saying, that's a lie, Pastor. Okay, I know they taste good. But if you're eating the apple for the nutritional factor and wrapping it in caramel, it's not happening. The sugar coating, it's all for looks. It's all for taste. It's all for momentary pleasure. And it stunts the growth in our life because we're fooling ourselves. And what happens to the apple at a fair, my fear is, can happen in churches around the world when it comes to the Word of God. We become underfed because we know church is good and it's important, but we're doing nothing else to feed ourselves and just sugarcoating things in our life. Now, sugarcoating is not always necessarily bad, and I am a proponent for the truth. But if you come and you say, you know, Pastor, you know, do you think I've put on some weight? I'm going to find a way to sugarcoat that thing right there, okay? I'm not even going to answer it. I'm just telling you right now. But when it comes to our growth and our walk with Christ, too many times, we've looked for the things to pacify us. We've looked for the substitutes in life because they're easier, right? And so that's one thing we've got to watch out for as believers, as Christians. One of the things that can stunt us in our growth is the area of substitutes. But then there's others who may not benefit from the Word of God the way that they should because not because of the substitutes. You know, and by the way, sugar substitutes, you know, nothing can take the place of sugar, right? Sugar's amazing. And you try to substitute it, you can tell, you know, when they come out with new sodas. You can tell when they've got sugar substitutes in there. And sometimes we try to do that when it comes to filling ourselves spiritually. But then there's others who are not growing because they're not longing for the Word of God the way that the Bible told us. They're not longing for the Word of God the way that newborn babies do. And that's exactly what he said in the Word of God. As newborn babes. Now, by the way, when he says babes, he doesn't mean like, you know, hey, check out that babe. No, he doesn't mean that. He means like child, infant, immature. You don't understand, and you're trying to get results without doing any of the work to grow in the maturing process. He says, as babes, one of the things, babies, infants, one of the things that can happen is we don't long for the Word of God the way that they do. How does a baby long for food? Every day, day by day by day by day, that baby is always longing for food. Now, I know this is going to be somewhat of a ridiculous illustration, but babies do not come to church so that they can drink milk for 2 hours and then go home and do nothing else or drink nothing else only to come back to church on Sunday next week to fill up once again. That would be ridiculous. It would be unhealthy. We would be turned into DHS. We didn't feed our kids. Yet many of us are going from Sunday and trying to eat as much as we can and hoping it pacifies us, helps us till the next Sunday when Christ said, no, learn to feed yourself. Now, having said that, it's good that we gather. I want you here. There is a benefit being the church as we gather, which in a couple more weeks, we're going to talk about what it means to be the church. But for right now, we need to make sure we are doing something to feed ourselves daily. Oh, I don't do it every day. What if I miss a day? Am I a bad Christian? No, just do it the next day. There's times in my devotional life where I'll try to listen to a podcast, read the Bible, journal, do something like that, and I'll miss a day. I'll get busy or I'll be sick or for whatever reason. The next day, I go, oh my gosh, I forgot to journal yesterday. So do I need to go back and journal that day so that I can catch up with today? No, you wouldn't do that with food. Oh my gosh, I was so sick with the flu yesterday. I missed breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So before I can eat breakfast today, I'm going to go back and eat a breakfast. I'm going to eat a lunch, and I'm going to eat a dinner, and then I'll eat my breakfast. You would throw up. And that's what happens too many times with people that get religious. I've got to check off this box. I've got to jump through this hoop. He doesn't want that. He wants relationship with you, but what he's saying is as newborn babes, let there be a rhythm in your life where you're feeding yourself on a daily process. That's true for our spiritual walk. We can't stuff ourselves on Sunday and live off of that till the next week. And I know some of you right now just thought to yourself, well, I've done it. But you see, that's not the way he's designed it. You don't have to do that. You don't need to do that. He wants to meet with you day by day. He wants to meet with you whenever you want to meet with him. God's just, he wants to be in your presence. And he wants us to feed ourselves on a more regular basis. See, babies eat regularly for the simple reason of this. They are hungry. So I ask you the question today, spiritually speaking, are you hungry? Because you know if you are or not. And you can nod your head either way, and you know, outwardly, visibly, but you know in the quietness of your heart where if you're fed or not. If you're feeding yourself or not, if you're getting involved and connected and plugging in the way that God wants you to, you know that. And if you don't feed that, it just starts to quiet down. It starts to die away. Babies eat regularly because they're hungry. Why don't we feed on God's word more than we do? Why don't we? Well, the answer is simple. It's either because we aren't hungry for it, Or it's because we've been trying to satisfy our hunger with pacifiers or sugar substitutes. We've been trying to get something else. I know church is important. I know I should tithe. I know I should pray. I know I should read. But, you know, I'm not really feeling it. So I'm just going to, and then you look for a substitute. Nothing can substitute the Word of God. There is no other. See, we think we're full sometimes, but all we've done is camouflage the real need that's inside of us. Job said in chapter 23, he said, I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. More than my necessary food. You see, when you try to substitute anything, all it simply is, when you try to substitute the Word of God for anything else, all it is a shortcut, and it's not going to last very long. You may feel full for the minutes, but it will pass quickly. Kind of like, and I know you've done this, so don't even try looking at me like you haven't done it. You get a little bit hungry, and you go to the pantry or the fridge or whatever. And the other day, I went to the pantry, and I'm like, I'm going to get a snack, you know, something that fills me up, you know, something that's halfway decent. When I opened the door, there's a bag of Tootsie Rolls that greeted me. And I went, ooh, Tootsie Rolls. I like Tootsie Rolls. I'm going to have just a couple of them. About 15 Tootsie Rolls later, I got wrappers strapped around my belly, and I'm going, oh, I shouldn't have ate all those Tootsie Rolls. They tasted so good. They were so sweet, and they kind of filled me up or kind of made me feel like I was filled up. But now I regret the choice that I made because I substituted a healthier meal for something that was just going to pacify me. And we've got to make sure that we understand, just like Job said, he said, I have treasured the words of his mouth more than I did the Tootsie Rolls. He said, "I the Word of God, there's nothing that can take its place. It's not enough to just be under the teaching of a Bible study weekly as we gather. This is good. Again, I'm not taking away from that. But there's got to be more in your week, if you're going to grow spiritually. There's got to be more input that you're feeding on. So the comparison to baby's milk lets us know that these are the basics of the Christian life. So let me look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, and I'm going to read verse 12 and 13, and we'll get to 14 in a minute. Here's what he says in the scripture. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk, and not solid food. Verse 13, for everyone who partakes only of the milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. He's an infant. He's a child. Milk, in reference to the scripture, is what has often been called the ABCs of faith. It's the beginning. Milk is critical for a new Christian to feed on, but it's not the whole meal. There's much more that God wants us to experience. There's much more that God wants us to desire in our lives, and that's only going to happen as we come to this place of knowing that we move from the milk to the meat of the Word of God. It may start with the milk, but that's not our final destination. Number two, here's the other observation. Here's what we know, that when you're moving from milk to meat, it's a sign of maturity. It's a sign of maturity. You're growing spiritually. A steak and potato meal is designed to facilitate our growth and our maturity in the things of God, so to speak. We need to recognize something here, I believe, that I'll call a spiritual malfunction concerning Christians and our appetite when it comes to spiritual growth for Scripture. And I would have to say it's far too prevalent, and it saddens me, but here's the issue. There's this malady of adults who are grown, but they're still feeding on milk when they should be on the meat. That happens too many times, or at least it can happen too many times. Peter addressed this plea to baby Christians. He said to them, those that were new enough in the faith, he said, then you should be on the milk. But as you grow, you should be moving over to the meat. He was speaking to a group of people that had a spiritual digestive system that was matured. It was able to handle the meat, but they were still taking on the milk. They should be able to handle the solid food, but they were content for the milk of the Word. Now, let me put it this way. There's nothing wrong when you have a baby that's growing and the baby's 3 months old. There's nothing wrong with giving a baby milk in a bottle. Is there anything wrong with that? No, that's normal. We see a baby. If I go to the store and I see a three-month-old in a shopping cart that's mom shopping and the baby starts to cry and they put a bottle in the baby's mouth, we always say, oh, look at that baby. It's so cute, or whatever it is we say. But if I see a 33-year-old walking around the grocery store with a bottle hanging out of his mouth, I'm going to say something's not right. This is abnormal. Something's wrong. Something's off. Why is there a 33? He should be eating something much more substantial than just drinking a bottle. But adults who are still on infant diets either have a serious emotional problem or there's something wrong in their ability to digest the food that they're taking in. And the Bible contains a lot of examples, by the way, of people, because this is what I thought. I thought, man, you know, did this happen in the Word of God? And absolutely it did. They had to address the people that were adults or they were more grown up, but they were content with the milk of the Word of God. And the first example is the Hebrews themselves. In the Bible, the Hebrews, the author, when he was writing in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, he realized that the people he was speaking to, the readers, weren't mature enough to enjoy the meal or the word that he was trying to give to them. So he said this in verse 11. Whom I have much to say, it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. He basically said, I've got a lot I want to tell you, and there's a lot of things I want to pass on to you, but he says, but I have to stop right here because it's so hard to explain it to you since you've become dull in hearing and you've been content with the milk. You should have been on to the meat. In other words, these people were immature because of their stubborn refusal to learn and to grow. Not because they were baby Christians who needed milk. These Hebrew children were like the 33-year-old walking around the grocery store with a bottle hanging out of their mouth. The other example in the Bible is the Corinthians. If you look at the Corinthians, Paul spoke to them, and he said he noticed a group of people that were acting somewhat immaturely, and so he had to talk to them. He said, you know, he wasn't necessarily trying to scold them or yell at them, but he was pointing out, your maturity level is not where it's supposed to be. It says in 1 Corinthians 3, brethren, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal. As to babes in Christ, I fed you with the milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. But even now, you're not able to receive it. He says, you're still not able. He said, I gave you the milk back here so that you could grow, so that when I came back, I could give you some meat so you could grow even more. But you became content with the milk and remained in that place and never grew. You never fed yourself spiritually. And now that I'm back to give you the meat, you can't take it. You can't receive it. So, as I said earlier, I'm making an assumption today that you and I that are here want to grow spiritually, even if it's just a little bit, and we want to experience God in such a way that we can grow in the grace and in the knowledge and in the understanding of who Jesus Christ is in our life. See, solid food is more than just doctrine, okay? Solid food refers to the spiritual understanding and the application of the experiences of truth that operate in our life. The more consistently that you and I connect doctrine, the milk, the ABCs, the knowing the difference between right and wrong, the more that we connect that with spiritual discernment and life application, the more we're going to mature and the more we're going to grow. See, with maturity comes the increased capacity to experience and to perceive things from God and from his divine perspective. And in the last half of verse 14, he gives us the key to knowing when we've grown spiritually. He helps us to know at what point are we growing, and we've laid aside the milk and the bottle and we've started digging into the meat. The last part, I believe it is, of Hebrews 5:14 says, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I'm going to take you back to a word that you're probably not going to want to hear. It says that he gives this to the people that have their senses exercised. How many of you just love the word exercise? Well, not most of us. I could ask you the question today, and you don't need to raise your hand, but how many of you have a membership to a gym? The card is in your wallet, your purse, or your pocket, but you haven't been there for 6 months, right? Hey, I'm not making fun of you. Guess what? I've got a membership to Planet Fitness. You want to know how many times I've been there in the last 6 months? Once. And it was just recently. And now I know we could say, okay, last year, COVID. You know, those of us that, you know we should exercise but don't want to, really loved COVID last year because we're like, oh, that darn COVID, I can't go work out now. I guess I'll just eat some more potato chips, you know. And one, and two. And that's our exercise. But the reality is simply this. He says that if you and I want to grow in our walk with Christ, we've got to exercise so that we can get from the milk, apply the Word of God in our life, so that we can get from the milk and being content with that to experiencing the meat of God, to experiencing the substance that will help us to discern between good and evil. Now, we know that that we are maturing when we can take God's truth, the Word, we can take that doctrine, and we can use it skillfully in our lives to live and to make decisions from a biblical perspective. When you and I can filter everything that comes our way through the grid of God's Word and discern what His will is for our life and discern what His desires are for our life and then obey what it is that God tells us to do, then all of a sudden we have a deeper relationship with Him. But that doesn't come until we exercise that. Mature believers, by the way, here's another way you know you're maturing. Mature believers can pick up on spiritual signals that immature believers cannot. What I mean by that is simply this. As you grow, one of the ways you know is you can walk into a room sometimes and you can just tell something's not right here, something's up. And it's kind of like if you ever grew up watching Spider-Man, Spider-Man would have his spider senses tingling in that he knew something was up, right? And there's times where the Holy Spirit, you know you're growing in that depth because you'll experience something and you'll say, something's just not right, something's off, or maybe I need to pray. That's the Holy Spirit that speaks to you. But He only does that because you have exercised and matured and have grown and gone from the milk onto the meat. And that happens in an atmosphere of love, but you've got to exercise it. Why do I have to exercise it? Well, even physically, if you want to have a better looking body or a healthier body, you have to do something about it. And you go and you exercise. Spiritually speaking, if you want to grow and mature in your walk, you have to exercise some biblical principles, and that means not just knowing what's right and wrong, but then choosing what's right, even though you wanted to do the wrong thing, but you're going to choose the right thing anyway. You now grow. You become wiser. You become more mature. And God wants us to know this because of His great love for us. Let me give you an example. Let's say that you're here today, and you have a son or a daughter that, I was going to say that you love very much. I hope you love them very much. But let's say that when they're teeny tiny little, you want to cultivate that love. You want to cultivate that trust. So what you do as a parent is you give them good things. Every time they see you, you give them a little something and they're like, oh, and they get excited and they start running to you because they know that when they see you, they're going to get good gifts. So when they see you, they come running, Daddy, and they come running to you and they jump in your arms and you love it. You've cultivated this love and this trust, but there's still wisdom that needs to be exercised in the knowledge that you've built of getting good things and good gifts. Because let's say the same daughter that you give gifts to, and you, every time you see her, you give her a gift, and they come run to you, and they give you hugs, and they give you kisses. You want to teach them about balance and maturity and wisdom because you also want to teach her, though she may come running trustfully to you, you don't want her to go running trustfully to a stranger at a car that has a handful of candy either, right? Why? Why can't she figure that out? Because at that immature age, her reasoning powers aren't mature yet. And so you teach them that it's okay to trust and it's okay to love, but you've got to have wisdom in the midst of that. Your daughter may be able to repeat the information that you teach her. Your son may be able to repeat the information that you teach him. But without maturity, they will be unable to apply it correctly in a real life situation. And that's why we need to not only learn, but to teach others. When it comes to God's Word, meat eaters, those who eat the meat of Word of God, are those who can digest the truth so that they have a heavenly rather than an earthly response to the issues that you face in life. Because when you face difficult times and respond in an earthly or a worldly way, it doesn't do much. It doesn't usually accomplish anything. But when you can see it from God's perspective, then it changes everything. So both milk and solid food are good. Both milk and solid food are very important at the proper time, even though they're different. And here's the third observation. What happens is we grow from milk to meat when we're applying the truths of God to our lives, when we're applying God's truths to our world. And when that application happens, all of a sudden, growth starts to take place. And here's the funny thing. God will use trials in your life. He'll use difficult times that you may be going through, and you're saying, I know the doctrine, I know the milk, I know what's right, I know what's wrong, But then all of a sudden the question comes, but am I going to do what it is that's right versus that which is wrong? And what makes the maturing process enhanced is when you take what is right and apply it in your life. You are now maturing in your walk with Christ. The way we grow from milk to meat is by applying the truths of God's word and cultivating a relationship with God. Cultivating a relationship with Him. See, the intimacy between you and God should be so strong. I want to say something about that. Intimacy in our world is so messed up. That's just my opinion, okay? Whenever we hear the word intimacy, the world hears sex. That's all they think about. But intimacy is about closeness. Intimacy is about being so close and trusting and leaning into one another and cultivating and developing a relationship. That's where the intimacy comes. And whenever you talk about sex, that's just a celebration of the intimacy that's supposed to be there. And why am I even bringing this up? Because I said that as we grow and apply God's word and God's truths to our lives, then the intimacy, the closeness with God becomes so much more greater and stronger. But there's a couple things we need to know. In your outline, that little letter A, here's the key to it. The key to that intimacy and the key to the closeness is our relationship with Christ. It starts there. If you want to experience the fullness of His Spirit, and when we're talking specifically about His Word, the key to it is our relationship with God. I'm going to try to be very careful with this illustration, but I think it makes my point. When a mother nurses her baby, because of the need for food that's there, it's an experience of closeness, and it's an experience of intimacy for both the child and the mom. That's just the way that the bodies have been created and how life works. And there's a closeness. God wants that same closeness, that intimacy. They did a study. This is years ago, so I don't have my reference to where I got it, but it was an orphanage where it says they wanted to determine why babies in orphanages who were being fed regularly were dying. And they couldn't figure out, we're feeding the kids, why is it that they're not surviving? And it was discovered this. It discovered that it wasn't a lack of food that caused them to die, they were being fed, but it was a lack of being held and caressed by the attendants that were too busy, and they couldn't give the babies the individual attention they needed. These babies were receiving the milk, but they died from the lack of intimacy and closeness. They died from the lack of having relationship, somebody that was there to hold them, to love on them, to tickle them, to change them, to whatever it was. You see, our relationship with Christ is supposed to be so close. That's what intimacy is about. Even when children move beyond infancy, by the way, the family is still designed to function in such a way that eating is done relationally because we gather, or at least we should, gather around the table. We should gather around the table. Time around the table is so important, isn't it? Now, I know that there's some of you here right now that are kind of cringing a little bit because you eat in front of the TV. You eat in separate rooms. I'm not here to say how you should eat your meal. I'm here to give an illustration of how important it is to have closeness. In our home, this is what we did. I grew up in a home where we had dinner around the table. If I could sit in front of the TV and eat a meal on a TV tray, that was just amazing. I had a blast. It was fun. But that was not the norm, okay? We sat around the table. And both Lisa and I, when we had our children, we decided that we want to have dinner around the table. And the reason we want to have dinner around the table is because we wanted to, we didn't explain it this way to our kids. When it was our kids, we just said, dinner's ready, come to the table. And if they said they didn't want any dinner or they didn't want to come to the table, we said, well, then you don't want, obviously, any dinner because that's where the food's at, you know. And they're kids, so we got to say, you know, get to the table now. You're going to eat, you know. And but the reason we did it is we wanted to be intentional about gathering around the table. We wanted, those were some of the best times that we had. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Hey, Seth, how was your day? What did you do today? Drea, what's going on in your life? You know, and they'd tell stories, and then they'd remember something that happened that was funny, and they'd share it with us. There was a lot of laughter that happened at the table, at the dinner table. There was a lot of sometimes just communication. Sometimes it was annoying. Sometimes it was frustrating. Sometimes it was awkward. You know, you're going to have all those different scenarios. But at the end of the day, our relationships remained closer because we intentionally spent time building relationship. The key to you and I growing in our walk with Christ is about intentionally spending time building that relationship with Christ. You may say, well, what's the big deal about sitting around a table? It's about relationship. These would be some of the most important times that when I think back, I can remember with our kids. They tell us some of the craziest things. They'd have us laugh until we were shooting, you know, peas out our nose or something like that. It's just, it was a great time. Relationship was established. Now, the most intimate time that Jesus had, by the way, in the Word of God, guess what? It was gathered around a table as well. And we celebrated it this morning. He was with his disciples at the Last Supper. And he told them, he said, listen, I'm going to be going, and where I'm going, you can't come with. And he took some time to be close with them. It was intentional. What's my point? My question today is simply this. Are you, or what are you, doing to intentionally draw closer to Christ? Because the more you find out about how powerful the Word of God is full of His promises. I know I'm pointing at my iPad, but my Bible's open on it. So the Word of God is very powerful. And His promises do not return void. But if you don't know what the promises are, how can you know what to expect? How many of you ever have bought a car, a truck, a vehicle, whatever, and you got into it, and you've driven it for 6 months, and then a friend, your kid, somebody gets into it, and they start discovering buttons and bells and whistles that you never knew were in the car. You know what I'm talking about? You know, you're like, I didn't know my car could do that. And I had gotten a truck, you know, a while ago, and Seth got in there, and Seth likes to, he's a smart kid. He's a book reader. He's a studier. I don't know about book reader, but he's a studier. And he got in there and figured out a few things. So when I got in the truck, he started pushing buttons and showing me things my truck could do that I never knew it could do. And I said, Seth, I said, how did you know how to do that? And he's like, oh, you didn't know how to do that, Dad? He's got to rub it in a little bit. You know what I mean? I'm like, no. I said, how did you learn that? He goes, well, they have something in a glove box called a manual. He goes, have you not read the manual? And I was like, shut up, kid. I don't want to read the manual, but you see, it's not until I read the manual till I discover what it is that my truck can accomplish. You and I, He's given us a manual, the Word of God. But if you don't read the manual, you'll never find out what it is that you can do. You'll never find out that greater is He that's within you than anything else in this world, unless a preacher preaches it. But you want to experience it. That happens when you get in the Word for yourself. We must be willing to do that. I had to one-up them a little bit. I don't know if you got iPhones, but I got an Apple phone. And what happens when your kids move out? We're empty nesters now. And that's both good and bad. The first few weeks they were gone, it was like, what are we going to do with our life? Because it was all wrapped around the kids. But then after 3 weeks of them being gone, now when they come visit, we're like, oh, we love you. We missed you. When are you going back home? You know? And so they hear that, and I love to give them a hard time. But here's what happens now that they're not around. I've got more time on my hands. I get bored. I don't know what to do. And I'll be flipping through, looking at some different things on my phone. And one of the things I discovered was the app called TikTok. Okay? Now, I'm not here as a proponent selling TikTok. I just happened to be on there. And it said, here's some iPhone hacks or tips or tricks, if you will. And so I learned a few of them. And Seth came home last week. And when he sat down, he has an iPhone too. And so I played it all nonchalant because I remembered that whole, Dad, you got a manual in your car. Don't you read the manual? I thought, you little smart aleck. We were sitting down. I don't know if you knew this, but on the back of your phone, if you have an Apple phone, you can set your phone up. That's actually a button. And if you double tap that, you can set it up. If you double tap it, it'll do a screenshot. If you triple tap it, it can do something else. And I got to be very careful because first service, I started taking screenshots of myself while I was trying to show him. So when Seth came home, I said, hey, Seth, let's get a picture of each other. And he's like, all right. So I pulled my phone out and I double tapped it. And he goes, what'd you just do? And I said, oh, I said, I double tapped on the back and took a screenshot. He goes, how did you do that? And I said, oh, you don't know? It was my turn. And I said, well, they got this thing called a manual. If you just pull it out and look at it. I kind of lied a little bit. It was TikTok, but I wanted to use the word manual. And I said, yeah, as a matter of fact, I said, did you know that you can set this thing up to do music quizzes? Just tap on one button and it'll do a music quiz based on the music on your phone. And he goes, no. I said, did you also know that you can set this up and push a button? And if you leave the room and leave this phone in the room and you have a headphone in, you can hear what everyone's saying in the room. Not very ethical, but it does it. And he's like, Dad, he goes, how do you know all this? You're old. You're not supposed to know this stuff. And I said, oh, I said, I just, you know, you look at the manual, you can find out all of the kind of things this thing can do. And we laughed about that and kind of joked about it. But the truth is A lot of us are facing difficult times and want to know exactly what to do. I don't know if I'm going to make it through this whole COVID thing, and I'm facing health issues, and I don't know what the doctor said, and finances, and bank. You know what? God's got some tips and tricks that he wants to show you. Actually, they're called promises from the Word of God. That he says, if you would just get into the manual and lean into him and into closeness and relationship with him, he will show you all of the things that can be accomplished. I didn't know I could do this. Well, the Word of God said, greater is he that's within me than anything else in this world. If you learn that one, you can stand on that. You know, and everything's messed up. Nothing can ever amount to anything. Oh, but the Word of God says, old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Why? Because of Jesus. And if you know that, then you can stand on that promise. He'll always give those to you, but you will only find that in the midst of relationship. The only way Seth and I could goat one another and, you know, kind of have fun that way was because we were in each other's presence. And it was because we were in each other's presence that that relationship got to have fun. That relationship was experienced. And when you spend time and intentionally feed yourself on the Word of God, he'll reveal things to you that you didn't know. He'll show you things that you need to see. He'll speak to you about things you need to be made aware of so that you can succeed everywhere you go. And then letter B is this. Here's the test. The test is being able to feed yourself and then others. You must feed yourself and then others. Don't feed others first. Feed yourself first. Because if you don't feed yourself first, you're not going to have anything to give them. That's of substance. Feed yourself and then others. I don't know if there's, you know, young moms here. There's going to be some moms maybe to be, but I'm sure that you can remember moms even when your kids were little, the demand that was there. Yeah, I don't know how many kids you had. I know Pastor Chris, Courtney, you know, five children running around the house, and we'll go over sometimes to their house to eat, and I love it because I just sit on the couch and watch. And it's like a little tiny dust tornado just going all over. Mom, 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 mom. And I'm picking on Courtney. She's not here, so I can do that. But mom, 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 mom. I bet if you asked any mom that had to work with kids, you know, I want some more food. Cut my food up. I dropped my food. Can you pick this up? I got to go to the bathroom, you know, and they're constantly doing all that stuff. If I were to ask any moms that had to deal with children like that, what's the one thing you want the most? Most of them would say, I want to go to lunch with people who do not call me mom and can cut their own meat. Teaching children to feed themselves can be messy. It can take a lot of work, and it will require a lot of patience. But I want to tell you, moms that have raised those kids, moms that currently have them or soon will, the payoff is worth the effort. When you can teach a child to feed themselves, oh, it's amazing. When a child learns to sleep throughout the night, amazing. The Bible says one mark of a growing and maturing Christian is their ability to teach others. You know you're getting somewhere in your spiritual growth when you can feed yourself from God's Word instead of having to have it all chopped up and prepared for you. And when you can then feed others, feed someone else from the Word, you're showing the marks to maturity. Now, to deepen that, to develop that spiritual maturity, it's going to require us to read the Word of God. Revelations 1:3 tells us about the importance of the power of the Word of God in feeding ourselves. But we're also going to have to study His Word. Oh, Pastor, I knew that was coming. You're going to tell me I have to do a lot of work. I didn't say you had to write a thesis. But we have to do something to study the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15 says that when you study the Word of God, there's a proving that goes on, a maturing process that develops. But then he says, you also got to memorize his word. Oh, I knew it. We're going to have to do some work, aren't we? We got some homework. Well, memorizing his word is not just about something that makes God happy. Like if I memorize a Bible verse, God goes, okay, you got one today. There's a good mark for him. He has no list. He has no boxes he wants to check. Then why memorize his word? Because it is the promises of God. There's power in the Word of God. And when you hide his word in your heart, Psalms 119:11 tells us how powerful that is, that when you hide his word in your heart, you do it so that you might not what? Sin against thee. It can keep you from making wrong choices. But what it can also do is this, that when you make the wrong choices, it can pick you back up and put you back on your feet. Sometimes you're going to find the word of God is going to be as sweet as honey. You're going to be like, oh, I needed that today. I needed to hear that. Man, that message, that scripture, that devotion, whatever it is you do, you're going to be like, man, it was just as sweet as honey. But then there's going to be other times when it's going to make your face pucker, like you swallowed lemons or something. You know, it's like medicine. You go, ooh, I didn't really like that one. But it's still like a medicine is good for you. So you may find it, one day it's sweet and the other day it's not so sweet. But no matter based on how you feel it tastes, it brings health and wholeness into your life. Sometimes you're going to like it, and sometimes you're not. But if you will drink the pure milk of the Word of God and then graduate to solid food, you'll discover this. You'll discover that it's not only good for you, but you're going to become very effective in helping others to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ as well. In Jesus' name, amen, church. I want to ask if you just bow your heads with me as we say, Jesus, we ask that today you would have had your way. That, Lord, in this short time, Lord, that you would have stirred our hearts. Lord, we come against anything the enemy would try to bring in, a way of condemnation that says, I've been reading my Bible, I must be a failure. No, you are not a failure. You are a son and daughter of the Most High God. Now, the Holy Spirit might bring conviction and say, why don't you start? He may be amening something you've just been thinking about while I've been speaking, and you said, yeah, I need to get more involved, or I need to do more of this. That's the Holy Spirit, because he always wants to lead you back into a closer, anything that brings you and draws you closer to him. So, Lord, we're asking today that you will stir our hearts. Lord, that as we leave this place, whatever it is that we've walked in with, the heaviness, the baggage, the weight of the world, depression, anxiety, Lord, we come and we lay it at your feet. Not as in a way to say we no longer need to be responsible, just that we understand that it all, nothing changes anything like the blood of Jesus. So, Lord, we're laying it at your feet and saying, Jesus, stir our hearts. Give us a passion. Give us a hunger. Lord, give us a hunger like we have when lunchtime comes and we start looking for food in the shelves, in the cupboards. Lord, spiritually, give us a hunger that we can start feeding ourselves through different avenues, because our goal is simply this. We want to draw closer to you. We want to have a closer relationship so that we can be people that not only know how to feed ourselves, but then you can work through us to help feed others as well. Lord, we receive that today, and we ask it in your name. Amen.